And welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 98, the second paragraph, Burn the Idea, through one paragraph ending in Trust God, Clean House. Two sentences, powerful paragraph. Today's readers are, and thank you so much, to Team Tuesday, Alana P., Lynn F., Craig F., On the Traditions, Michelle J., The Steps, Joni C., and the newcomer greeter, Colleen M., host for the second awesome unrequited hour, Christine G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 19th, 7 a.m., 22,445, that's 22445, for the 10 a.m., 22446. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Joni C. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured in Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than our sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became witnesses to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Johnny C., I will now ask for Michelle J. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Good morning, family. Michelle J. From Texas, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, the OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Let me serve.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 98 on the second paragraph beginning with burn the idea through trust God, clean house. And I am going to ask Ilana P. to get us started. Please go ahead. Ilana, you have the floor.
Thank you, Amy. Ilana P., recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. Wonderful paragraph. Burning an idea into the consciousness means to implant a thought so deeply and vividly in someone's mind that it becomes a fundamental part of their thinking and understanding. So the idea is not just superficially learned, but it penetrates and goes into the core of the person. It's presented in a way that's easy to understand, remember, and repeat. The idea shapes their perceptions, their actions, their beliefs in a significant way. It's not just a fleeting thought, but a permanent part of their mental framework. And it's not a peripheral detail, but a core element of their understanding. So it's just like when I can see to my innermost self that I am a real compulsive overeater. It's that deep. Circumstances and externals don't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on around me or in my head, especially. I can get well with God and cleaning house. I have the only condition, I trust God. I must develop a relationship with my higher power, with God, which can solve my problem and give me the power I need. and then I must clean house by working all the steps, by surrendering my life to God, by taking inventory of my mistakes, my shortcomings, my actions, and then by making amends for the harms I've done, and then working with others. That's the whole program in a nutshell. That's this way of life, and I'm so grateful to be abstinent and to be here with you today, and I pass. Thank you.
Excuse me. Thank you so much, Alana P., for getting us started. Okay, so before I take names of those who'd like to share on what was read, we'd like to say, if you have shared in the last couple of days, although we value your experience, strength, and hope, we ask that you step aside so others can share. So that means either Monday or Friday, if you could step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope. So who would like to share on what was read?
Rachel K.
Rivka R., Baltimore.
Colleen M.
Okay. Rivka R., Colleen M.
Elsie M.
L.
Somebody L.
Yvette.
Oh, Yvette. Okay.
Elsie M.
Somebody C. There's two people came in at once, so who were they?
Elsie M.
Judith S. P.
Elena C.
Elena C. Okay, got you. This is
Abby.
Who I have. I'm sorry.
Abby D.
Abby.
Yeah, thank you.
Abby D. Okay, so this is our lineup. We've got plenty here. I've got Rachel K., Rivka R., Colleen M., Yvette L., Elsie or Kelsey M., Judith S. P., Alana C., Elena C., Abby D. All right. Rachel K., you're up, girl. Grab the mic.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Ilana, for that awesome opening share. Hi, my name is Rachel K. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Indy, Indiana. This passage, yeah, it's short, but like so full of stuff that means so much to me. When I, after being in OA for 15 years and not being able to string together usually like 2 or 3 days of abstinence, when I finally recovered, when God finally, you know, when I finally became open to receive God's gift, I had just, my best friend had just told me that she didn't want me to be friends with her anymore, that she no longer wanted me to be maid of honor at her wedding. I was essentially homeless. I wasn't on the street, but I was living at a women's hotel, one of those week-to-week women's hotels in the Tenderloin in San Francisco, which for those of you who have been there is not a great area, or at least wasn't in 2000. And all my stuff was at the side of the road in a moving van that had broken down somewhere between Texas and California. I wasn't sure where. And I'm not saying this because, like, I'm so great. I'm saying this because circumstances never caused me to binge, and circumstances will never cause me to recover. You know, it takes the pressure off of me as a sponsor. You know, this says regardless of any man, like, it is my ego that thinks, oh my gosh, I'm going to screw this person up if I don't sponsor them the right way. Or conversely, you know, okay, if I sponsor this person, they are going to recover. It's really up to them and God. It's all God. You know, I am just there as sort of an accessory to give my experience, strength, and hope. Just like I've had incredible sponsors and incredible people who have helped me along the road. I have had God with skin on who have been, you know, invaluable to my recovery, but it all comes down to God. It all comes down to trusting God and cleaning house. And the third sort of in that trio is helping others, you know, which this chapter is all about. But trusting God and cleaning house. That's it. That's the bare bones. Or, you know, if I win the lottery, or, you know, all my stuff is in a moving van broken down on the side of the road. So anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. from Indy, Indiana. Okay, Rivka R., followed by Colleen M. Please go ahead, Rivka.
Thanks so much, Amy, for your service and everybody on the line for the great opening shares. Wonderful, thank you. So I was thinking, why do I have to burn the idea into the consciousness of every man, including myself, that we can get regardless of anyone? And I realized because, you know, burned into my consciousness is something vastly different. The lies of this disease burned into my consciousness since I was, you know, 4 years old. Like, burned into my consciousness is that the world is a scary place and food makes it all better. Burned into my consciousness is that, you know, while I'm chewing something, life is tolerable. Burned into my consciousness is that I'm inadequate and I'll never measure up. Burned into my consciousness is that you are all to blame for how I'm feeling. Burned into my consciousness is that being thin will make me happy and successful and loved. You know, burned into my consciousness is the absolute lie that more food will make me happier. You know, it never did. It just makes me sick. You know, recovery is about being able to tell the truth from the lies. So now I have to burn the truth into my consciousness that I can get well regardless of anyone or anything if I trust God and clean house. You know, how many times have I said and heard other people say, oh, I ate because, and the list is endless. No, I did not eat because I had to balance my checkbook and it's a tedious job and there's never enough money. Like, I didn't eat because someone hurt my feelings and I feel like a failure. Like, I ate because I'm a compulsive overeater and I manage my life with food. Like, food always came before God in my consciousness. So now I have to burn the truth of the reality of God being the loving director in my life into my consciousness. And then I can get well, regardless of anything or anyone. Like, and this all fits into what we know about the brain today, like that what we burn into our consciousness actually changes the structure of the brain. So today I want to burn the truth into my consciousness, that God treasures each and every one of us, and our effort to trust him and clean house is so precious. And we can value ourselves because God values us more than we can ever imagine. And that's what I want in my consciousness today. And have a blessed day, everyone. I pass.
It's Maryland, right? Rivka R?
Oh, Maryland, yes. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No problem.
Maryland. Yeah.
Thank you. So that's Rivka R from Baltimore, Maryland. All right. Colleen M, followed by Yvette L. Go ahead, Colleen.
Hey, Amy, everyone. Thank you for all the service that everyone's doing today. I'm Colleen M., recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland, and this has just been a great share this morning. And burning the idea into our consciousness that we can get well regardless of anyone. And I'm so grateful that I have gotten to this position, and it's taking, it feels like a lifetime of being in 12-step groups, not looking outside myself for other people's validation and following rules and having constant fear that I'm going to relapse if my sponsor goes out or if, you know, this person says the wrong thing or if, God forbid, somebody mentions a certain food topic in a meeting, I'm going to go run to have a binge. Today, I have conceded to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, and that my only hope is to get a relationship with a higher power who will direct me in my recovery path, and then I have to work the steps. And that's, you know, if, as long as I'm in fit spiritual condition, as long as I do this every day, then it doesn't matter what the conditions in my life are. You know, my abstinence and my recovery comes first so that the rest of my life can come second. And I have a life today beyond my wildest dreams, only because I've done this work, followed those people that have gone before me and shown me a path. And I'm just so grateful today, just full of gratitude. And I just wanted to, you know, speak my voice, claim my seat. Thank you for letting me share, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you so much, Colleen M. from Maryland. Maryland girls in the house here. Yvette, if you're from Maryland, that'd be really cool. But either way, please go ahead.
Good morning. My name's Yvette L., and I'm a very grateful and recovered compulsive overeater from Connecticut, not from Maryland, but Maryland's a great state. So they trust God and clean house. It's taken me, you know, it's been a process to learn to sincerely trust God. I had a sponsee once that said this is how she basically was going about life, you know, going to God with her clipboard in the morning saying, this is what we're going to do today. Okay, God. And that's not really trusting God. And I love that image because when I go to God asking God, what do you want me to do today, God? And then doing my best to do that to the best of my ability. I've had a very different experience. You know, with understanding, you know, how big of a problem that I have with the way that I think, the only way that I can get out of that is with the help of a power greater than myself. On my own, you know, the only thing I've got to, you know, deal with the biggest part of my problem is the way that I think. That's the problem, the way that I think. And only God has transformed that. But my responsibility is to continue day after day on awakening to be turning to that power for guidance. And my experience has been when I sincerely asked God for guidance and was willing to be helped. I needed to be willing to be helped and, you know, not be trying to give directions to God. Because on my own, I don't mean to do it, but I create chaos and unmanageability because there's so much fear just beneath the surface. So learning to trust God, and as I have, you know, my life has gotten better, and that keeps me wanting to trust God because my life has gotten better. But it certainly has been a process, and I think everything in this program is a process, and I'm just so grateful that, you know, after my first meeting in 1992, I came back continually, even though it took me a long time to fully surrender and concede that I really had this problem and it was only going to get worse. So thanks for letting me share, and thanks for everybody doing service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Yvette L. from Connecticut. All right, we've got LCM followed by Judith SP, and in case someone came in a couple minutes late, we're on page 98, the second paragraph. Okay, LCM, you're up, followed by Judith. Please go ahead, LC.
Thank you. Hi, this is LCM from outside Philadelphia, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I just love this paragraph. It's so packed with information, and I, for a long time, came in these rooms in 2006, and mostly I used it for a diet with group support. And I think, you know, it talks about that what is unconscious, and I had this unconscious belief that because my children were autistic and really hard to handle and raise, that I could eat. And so I would get abstinent, and I'd be abstinent for a while, and then I would break my abstinence over and over and over again. And that I had the belief, you know, subconscious belief that I could eat because of my conditions. And I don't believe that anymore. I don't have that anymore. I've learned that under any and all conditions, I don't pick up the food, and I don't go back to the behaviors that I did. And that I can get well regardless of anyone or anything, as long as I trust God and clean out. And so I, this last time, about 2 years ago, I was introduced to a sponsor who has three adult children with autism, and she showed me how she does it. And it's been, I have almost 2 years now of abstinence, and which is the longest I've ever had. And God just basically said, all right, look, if you don't believe me, I'm going to show you. And he showed me how someone else could do it. And under no matter what the conditions, and she has a lot worse conditions than I do. I mean, she has other situations that are difficult. So that woman is still my sponsor today. And she showed me a path to God, that a loving God, a God that he always would say, you know, what's most loving? What is most loving? What does God want you to do? And what is most loving? And that's how I live my life today. And I love the God that I have today. And I did, you know, with that sponsor, I did clean house. And I still clean house today with my 10 steps. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
From Philly, PA, Pennsylvania. All right, Judith SP, you're up. Please go ahead, followed by Elena C. Go ahead, Judith.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, everybody. And thank you, God, for bringing me to this wonderful meeting today. My name is Judith SP. I live in Maryland. I wanted to share because I am so grateful to my forefathers and mothers for keeping things so simple. My mind is a mush. It was complicated. There were rationalizations up the kazoo. And when I look at the paragraph before this, where it tells me there's a balance, there's a time and a place to give. If I start being on a service plane, I take the place of God. So I can't imagine speaking with someone initially or in the process of sponsoring and saying, you know, we're going to work together and we're going to burn the idea into your brain. And nothing in your life should get in the way. This is number one, baby. We're going to take it all the way. I think I probably would not be sponsoring. And so for me, everything comes back to how am I living my life? How has my brain, my thinking been turned over to my God so that I never alone anymore am coming up with an idea based upon self-reliance? I was discussing with a couple people yesterday the difference between self-reliance and self-will. And when my will is aligned with God, I am in a place of trust, trusting, total reliance upon step three. I've turned my will and my life over to God. I'm cleaning house and I'm a servant. I'm serving others. All the time, the big O in other, the teeny weeny little I in Judith. So to have the honor and privilege to work with others is a process. It is indelibly written on my brain cells, which as mentioned earlier, can heal and change. But it's up to me to take the action. And it truly is up to each one of my sponsees to take the action. I am here to share my experience, strength, and hope, and know that God is the only way for me, which I equate God and abstinence as interchangeable. So with that, I pass, and I'm truly grateful to be here today. Thank you, Amy.
That's Judith SP from Maryland. All right, Elena C., you're up, followed by Abby D., then we're going to have an announcement and take some names. Good morning. Go ahead, Elena. I believe it was Elena. Elena C., are you there? All right, well, how about Abby D? Are you there, Abby?
Hello, everyone. Good morning. This is Abby D., recovered in Michigan today. And I really appreciate that this is talking about the consciousness, because this disease starts in my mind. And I was just talking to someone earlier today, this morning, about, like, where is my mind today? Am I thinking that this can work for me, that God is here and that God is everything? Or am I thinking negatively? Am I thinking that, you know, it's not going to work for me? And is my thinking a negative thinking? And how easily, like, my default thinking can go towards the negative, and how it's a conscious effort throughout the day to keep my mind in on the side of the page where, like, God is everything, and hope and faith. And it can go from my character defects too, things not going my way in life, and just like, do I really believe that God is in all of these things in my life? So that's all I have to share, and with that I pass.
VD from Elena.
Elena, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that it hung up on me, but I don't know what happened. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Elena C. from South Carolina. Yeah, Elena C. from South Carolina. And it's a wonderful, short, and very rich paragraph. And, you know, I'm thinking before recovery how I just loved people to look at me the way I needed to be looked at, you know, to adore me, to praise me, to give me recognition, you know. And I was just like, gosh, it feels so good. And the thing is, people, you know, some people did, some people didn't. Those people, especially dear ones who I really wanted recognition from, didn't do as much as I wanted. And I always was always a victim of circumstances and depending my happiness on them. Now, here's the trick. It just worked for a short while because I was left with the vastness of my emotion, the vastness of my emotion. My emotions are from God. God gifted me with my emotions to understand myself, to understand the world around. And that's what I need to work on today, that I can be well regardless of people trigger my emotion. Why? Because I can clean house. And what that means is I simply need to remember there's a 10 step. And I am to say today that I am very conscientious with doing my 10 step every day and clean the house. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that I need to, I really wanted to have no emotions. I mean, I don't do pain, and I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to do pain. And that's how my brain was programmed, to numb and run away from it. Today, though, I can embrace those feelings triggered by the world, and I can call upon my amazing higher power, and together, I can feel those feelings, and not only that, but I can see a transform. I don't transform my feelings. God does. And that is faith. That to me is faith. To trust that no matter what's going inside of me because of what you did or didn't do, I could embrace the vastness of my emotions. I could embrace the gift of desperation and go to my amazing higher power. And then turn my attention onto someone I can help, service to others. And that is as simple as that. And it's easier to practice that because the practice, faith is practice. It's what I do, what I choose to do, what I remember to do. And also I will always be human and I will fall short of my, I will make mistakes.
And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. Well, folks, we interrupt this program for a Vision for You service announcement. Are you ready? It's coming. We're finally back. The Vision for You convention, the power of the big book. Talk about burning this idea into your consciousness. Be there November 7th through the 9th this year. That's right, 2025. We are at the Marriott Network International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. It's a fantastic opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can free you from the bondage of compulsive overeating. It's a weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship. People that you talk to and you hear, you're going to be able to see and hug. It is an incredible weekend. I think this is our fourth one coming. So let's burn that into your idea. Burn that idea into your consciousness. And how do we do it? We register. That's right. We register now at www.avisionforyou.info for updates and to register. You can also book out our discounted room rates, see what the food plan is. We've got it all there for you, folks. So please register ASAP. So avisionforyou.info, avision, the number four, YOU.info. Be there, be square. Okay, folks, moving on. We are now going to take more names and hear what they have to say on page 98, second paragraph. Who would like to share on what was read?
Ken W.H.
in Tennessee.
Kim A.
Vasha O.
Kim A.
Kim A.
Nancy C.
Nancy.
Lynn S.
Lynn S. Okay, I think I missed somebody, and we might have to stop there. Ken W.H., Vasa O., Kim A., Nancy C., Lynn F. There's someone up there I missed.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G. I think you came in with Ken, and I didn't get you. All right, let's see where we're at after that, folks, and hopefully we can maybe take a few more. All right, Ken, you're up. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Hi, everyone. Burn the idea. there's a sense of permanency to that for me. In fact, I think it's intended to mean that my brain gets changed by that permanently. And that's what I'm hoping to do with someone else is to share in a way that it actually etches something into the brain, that the information in the big book becomes a natural part of who they are and who I am. There's a sign I've seen signs on the door about don't let the cat out no matter what it tells you. Well, it's what that says to me is that when the twist of my mind, twist of my brain, the compulsive addictive thought comes and tries to convince me I need someone to open the door for me, that when that happens, this burning the thought of God into my mind, that it burns that bridge, that connection, that connection in my brain that says you need help, you need somebody else to do this for you, you need somebody else to open the door, Ken. And that's a false premise. That is the old way. And that this burning the idea into my consciousness of God puts God first, and then realize that bridge has been burned to the thought that says, all I need is somebody to open the door and let me out, and I'll be fine. Thank you very much. Because the truth is, my experience says completely the opposite. It has been completely the opposite. When I'm let out the door all by myself, and I have no one else, and I'm in the food. I'm just eating the stuff in my face. because I've made the decision myself. I've listened to the twist of to my twisted brain, and so this etching the idea of God into my brain is burning it into my heart, my brain, burning it into my soul. That first things first, God, just like it says in the book. When awakening in the morning, I ask God. First thing, ask God. And that's burned into my brain. And I hope that y'all get burnt today, so to speak. Thanks. God bless.
Hey, Ken, I forgot to write down where are you from again, please.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Okay, Vasa O., you're up, followed by Kim A.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Amy, for your service. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. So before I came to the 12 steps and OA, I've been into the food addiction for 25 years of my life, and I had tried to control, tried to do everything I heard of to put the food down. You know, and it didn't work. I could do it for a little bit, but I always went back to it. So when I came to recovery, I'm so grateful for my sponsor. And I had to burn the idea that I could do this by myself, you know, put the food down. There was no way I could do it. It's not like I didn't try. I tried many, many times over and over. It did not work. What I heard was I needed to surrender to a power greater than myself to be able to do it. And I had been so sick and tired of being sick and tired up to that point. I couldn't do it any longer, and I was ready and willing to surrender to a higher power, God, power, whoever you call it, please help me. I cannot do this any longer. And it was getting very progressively worse. You know, I was beginning to develop high blood pressure, diabetes. I was on the borderline. I was 41 years old when I came. And I also came for the vanity. You know, I didn't want to be, you know, I wanted to look good. And that was a big part. I came for the vanity, but I stayed for the sanity, what I heard. And I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I just want to put the food down. That's all. You know, I'm a pretty functional person. You know, I do this and I do that. Well, you know, if it meant I had to surrender with the food, that's what I needed to do. And I did it. It's by the grace of God. And I was willing and ready to do that. And then my sponsor said, well, okay, now we put the food down, we clean house, and we help others. I said, my house is the cleanest house in the neighborhood. What are you talking about? She said, well, this is the inside work, Vasa, meant with inside of myself. It didn't my, well, I needed to approach the same way as I was cleaning my house. I needed to go to meetings, surrender with the food, work the program the way it's laid out. And yes, I did do the fourth step, which I didn't want to do that, you know, and the fifth step, and then the sixth, and the seventh gradually. And no wife, and I learned early in my recovery, no matter what goes in my life, you know, what it is, you know, I need to stay abstinent and work the program. It was like a promise to me. Who would not want that promise? And that promise has been coming gradually, one day at a time. But for me, the first promise was to put the food down, which I never thought in my lifetime I would ever, ever put certainly those alcoholic foods down that were killing me. And I would be even dead today if I continued doing what I was doing. Thank you for letting me share. That must be my time. And I pass.
Kivasa O. from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Kim A., you're up, followed by Nancy C. Please go ahead, Kim.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. This is Kim A. from New York City. So this is such a small paragraph, but look at all these shares we're getting from it, right? This is just kind of reaffirming the idea that nothing about this illness has anything to do with what's outside of us, right? They say in the previous paragraph, job or job, job or no job, wife or no wife. So any excuse that our mind is going to give us as to why we cannot do this program because things are not a certain way, it's, you know, it's like the doctor's opinion tells us we can't tell the difference between what's true and what's false. And for me, it took a very long time to understand how this can also apply to food. For me, it was like saying sugar or no sugar, flour or no flour. You know, the big book denounces this idea of triggers over and over. And this is just a reminder to me, this paragraph, that there are no triggers outside of myself that are going to cause me to eat. This idea of relying upon God, when I trust God, then I'm not living in anxiety. I'm not living in self-pity. I'm not living in resentment. When I'm trusting God, I understand that things are not going to be the way I want them to be. People are not going to do what I want them to do. I don't have to worry about losing this or not getting that. It's all about what God knows I need, as opposed to living in that selfishness of what I want. And those are the things that make me eat, right? We learn that what makes us eat is those underlying causes and conditions that we uncover in step four. And when our sponsor is helping us see the truth in our thinking in our fifth step, we see that all the resentment and the self-pity and the anxiety, it's just selfishness manifested in various ways. So, you know, we can get well regardless of anyone, whether or not we have a job, whether or not we have a wife, whether or not we're surrounded by sugar, whether or not this, whether or not that, because none of this has anything to do with our job, our wife, our sugar, or anything outside of ourselves. This illness is inside of our heads. And we're just as powerless over the thinking that leads us to food and leads us to our selfishness as we are over what we're putting in our mouths. And so that's why if I'm relying on God, then I don't have to worry about anything outside of myself. As long as I'm doing those 10 steps, not once a day, not on occasion, but all throughout my day, that allows me to keep that kind of communication open between me and my higher power. Thanks. And to keep my house clean. I will pass with that. This is Kim A. from New York City. Thank you.
Followed by Lynn S. Please go ahead, Nancy. I think Chris, we may
not
get
Amy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Amy, thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan this morning. And boy, what a great meeting. I've burned into my consciousness more. I think I do every time I come into a meeting, that more is burned into my consciousness. So that's really a key word. But this is a really pivotal paragraph for me as I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, I used to have everything lined up before I would go on a diet. You know, I had to have the right food in the house and the stars had to be in such an alignment and it had to be a full moon and the witch had to go over the moon. Whatever it was, my fixed ideas of how this was going to look and how it was going to go was what was burned into my mind. God didn't play anything into that. And coming into the program and understanding, seeing people get well and not having this fixed idea of having to have the same diet plan, the same foods that we eat, the same amounts, the same way we go through the steps. Everything was just kind of like in flux and it worked. And how does that happen? God makes that happen because he's everything and he treats everyone differently and the same because he wants the best for all of us. So when I look at, you know, almost standing on that threshold, you know, we stood at the turning point, that this is showing that I stood at the turning point and I went the way that God wanted me to go. That today I really truly just wake up and say, I have no idea what is on tap for today, but just lead me in the way that I should be led. And my days work so much better when those fixed ideas stay in the background because I've burned into my consciousness that God is indeed in charge and will take me where I need to go. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Nancy C. All right, Lynn F. I've got Lynn S. and Chris G. I don't know, I've got 5 minutes left. You guys want to split the time or however it works out, we'll try to get you both in. Go ahead, Lynn. You're up.
Hey, Amy, it's Lynn. I'm going to pass. Thank you.
I'm not trying to pressure you. Okay. All right, Chris G., you're up.
Okay, thank you. Thank everyone for your service and being here. And the shares I listen to the shares today and I say, that's me. And so now do I get to talk for 5 minutes instead of three?
No.
No. I have more than 3 minutes to share, so you'll have to tell me when my 3 minutes is up. So reading this, it says to know about knowing, you know, in your heart, knowing. And most of the people that see me today don't realize that I used to be fat. And I would have to show them pictures. But those pictures are getting older because I got underweight with my health issues, but with life, I got underweight. And so I am not as underweight as I used to be either. So things can change. I do know that I am an overeater, even though my weight's not, you wouldn't know by looking at me. And one of the things, I do like the idea of calling them habits or whatever, but the character defects show me that I am an overeater. I am a perfectionist, and I do compare myself to others. I also want to look good. So I am a compulsive overeater, and it's not just about the weight, which was the reason I came into the program a while back, was to lose the weight. And one of the persons shared today about God does. I didn't do it. God does it. And in looking at this and listening to the shares, I realized if I compare myself to others, I didn't know what page it said trust God, and I should know that. I should know that on this page in the book, it says trust God, and I should know that because that's important. But I don't need to compare myself to Harlan in Arizona because he would be able to tell you what page. So, I know that two of my health issues, health problems, are not going anywhere. They're here. They're chronic health issues. But still, I have learned that the other parts of my life can get better and do, or they can, you know, go back and forth. And and I can say, well, this is better than it used to be. And so I have to tell myself it's okay to be slow. I don't, and now I have to ask for help with cleaning the house. And I'd rather clean the house myself than ask for help. And and I have also thought about sharing. Is my time up? Well, if you're listening and you don't share, you should get on like when everybody says the Serenity Prayer and practice that, and then it'll be easier to share at other times. And that, with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Chris. Okay, we've got about a minute and some change. Anyone want to take us out with a minute and change?
Natalie S.
Natalie, you got it. Let's go.
Well, thank you. This is Natalie S. in Indiana, and I was considering that burned in the mind of everyone, or whatever that line is exactly. And I remembered, I'm not a rancher, but I was thinking of when ranchers would brand their cattle and claim them so that they would be distinguished and identified. And then I felt like my higher power was leading me to say, where do I try to hide that? So, like, for example, in the Christian faith on Ash Wednesday, they put ashes on your forehead. And I remember, like, going in the bathroom and trying to wipe it off. I want it there. I want to know it's there, you know. But I don't want to be claimed there exactly because I want, my ego is so strong, I want to fit in. And that's how I was thinking of this. Do I really believe that the idea that God is everything is burned into my thinking and way of life? Unfortunately, I am. I'm like they say, I'm just never rise above a human being. And I don't fully believe that, but I can go each day working through these steps to realign every day and brush the hair out of my forehead and say, yep, I believe that my higher power is everything and nothing, and let the world decide. So that's just the image that came to mind that I wanted to share. So thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. And where are you from again, please? Natalie, where are you from?
I'm from Indiana. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Indiana. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm going to thank everyone who shared. And thank you so much, Team Tuesday, for your service. Please join us for a continued second unrecorded hour study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, May 20th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting is 22,448. That's 22448. 22,448. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lynn F. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.